Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we are continuing a series we started this Advent called O Holy Night. And we've been looking at different phrases from that that go along with the different words of Advent. So the first week we looked at the thrill of hope. And we lit the first purple candle. Last week, we would have looked at love. The law, his law is love. And we tried to do a little Sunday morning kind of devotional and get it out to as many people as we could. It wasn't very polished. I could hear the rustlings of a two-year-old as I was trying to conclude. So if I started speaking too fast, it's because she was knocking on the door and wanted her dada. We looked at God's law is love. And so if you didn't get a chance to hear that and you had the availability, it's still out there. But today we're going to look at joy. Today we're going to look at joy. And the phrase that's so familiar is a weary world rejoices. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 today. More of a Christmas scripture than an Advent scripture, but it's where I wanted to take us today. So if you can turn there in your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin with verse 8. If you're using one of our Bibles, that's on page 833. And I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of our gospel lesson this morning. And we pick up in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke with these words. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated and let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. A weary world rejoices. If I'm going to be transparent, which I always try to be, I've struggled with this message. I'm struggling with it even right now. Because I find myself, at least over the last handful of weeks, maybe more on the weary side and a little less on the rejoicing side. Can anybody relate to that? Amen. But you see, rejoicing, the act of showing our joy, gets lost sometimes because we relate it to being happy. But it's something so much more than that. It's something far greater than that. It's not something that just kind of comes and goes. There's multiple words in the Hebrew language that I can't pronounce, and I don't expect you to, but there's multiple words that describe this joy. But really what it gets down to is it's a gift from God that this joy is actually the essence being in the presence and in oneness with God. It's an everlasting joy. It's an amazing gift. It's a gift given to us, and we remember it at Advent, but it's a gift given to us every day of the year. A weary world rejoices. I can't tell you how many times that phrase has kind of echoed in my heart preparing this Advent series. because I started thinking that, you know, sometimes the Christmas season just sets us up for disappointment. There'll be some of our children disappointed with what they find under the tree. There'll be disappointment from some of our adults because of what they put under the tree. There's disappointment from family members no longer with us. There's disappointments to what could have been. There's disappointments because the year is almost over, and if you're anything like me, you didn't achieve everything you wanted to accomplish in this 2018 year. But that's a lot like life, isn't it? Doesn't life set us up for disappointments from time to time? We'd get disappointed in the way we get treated by friends and family. We get disappointed when we realize we're not that important to the place of employment that we've given ourselves to. We get disappointed when we see injustice in the world and we want to fix it and we just don't have the ability to do it all on our own. So many of us at some point it felt like you're just at the end of your rope, you don't know what to do. And not only do you not have joy, but because you've lost your joy, you don't feel God's love, and you probably aren't living in that excited expectation of hope that we talked about a few weeks ago. They all kind of play on each other, don't they? But joy is a special thing, because joy actually has nothing to do with our circumstances. Joy has to do with who God is. Let me say it this way. Joy has to do with who God was, who God is, and who God always will be. And see, sometimes we lose sight of all that God has done, and we get down in the dumps, or we get pouty, or we kind of kick rocks around, woe is me. And so as I started thinking, I don't think those that are very close to me would ever describe me as somebody who's joyful. Would you? No. A matter of fact, I've been told my sisters are what you would call optimist. They always see the good in things. And I don't think they would call me a pessimist, but they laugh and they roll their eyes because I tell them I'm a realist. I see things how they really are, and if they're good, then I'll be good. And if they're bad, they're bad. But that doesn't make me a negative person. Well, maybe it does. So I might should have had them come and talk about joy. Weary is not a word I use a lot in my vocabulary, but it means to be overly exhausted, tired, and I love this one because I've used this term before. Or tuckered out. Now, you know you're from the South when you say tuckered out, right? I think that's just a Middle Tiger word. I don't think outside of Duncan Lyman Welford, StarTex, you know, Tuckapaw, that word's used a whole lot. But those words I can relate to. Exhausted, tired, tuckered out. You see, I think that probably describes the Jewish people. They were at the end of their rope. They were awaiting the Messiah, but they had not heard from God. They had gone through exile and oppression. There had been no prophets for centuries, no move of God. They were indeed growing weary. And then God shows up and he says, or the angels show up and they say, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Did you catch in the scripture lesson who the angels went to talk to? A little Bible trivia. It was the ones with the stinky animals, wasn't it? It was the shepherds out in the field. Now, you think they were ever tuckered out? I would imagine so. So God decides to send his angel to tell these lowly shepherds, I got good news of great joy. And it's for all people. See, here's the reality of our faith. You You see, we can learn so much about our faith, and we can form a theology, and we can read books upon books upon books. And the reality of that is sometimes we fill ourselves with so much information we forget the basics. You ever known somebody that was so caught up and all that, we call them no earthly good because they couldn't even tell people the basics of their faith? Well, here's the basics that I came up with. God came to earth through the birth of Jesus at Christmas. And he was born in the most humblest way possible. Christ lived an obedient life, humbling himself. Christ died on the cross, and we can read in Scripture that it was for the joy set before him. It was in his oneness with God. It was not in his circumstances, but it was in the will of God that he found joy. Christ rose from the grave, and now he sits in his seat of authority and power at the right hand of God. But I think one of the things we miss the most at this church as modern day disciples is we forget that Christ promised he's coming again. Just like that weary world rejoiced when the Messiah came, our weary world can rejoice in knowing he's coming back. And Justin Coleman, in the little book we're using for the Bible study, says this: joy is not the same as happiness. Joy is not a feeling to be conjured up and then remains vulnerable to being taken away in a moment. Joy is assurance. Y'all know I love music, but I can't sing. I'm not sure why God did that, but he gave me the passion for music, but not the ability, I think, because he knew that my head would get too big. But the words of the old hymn, Blessed Assurance, y'all know that one? I hope you do. We're going to sing it in a minute. If not, it'll be brutal to get through. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born in his spirit. Washed in his blood. That simple verse gives us so much reason to rejoice, regardless of how bad our circumstances are today. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, Jesus is yours. We get the opportunity to have a personal relationship with our Savior. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We've seen God move in our lives, and sometimes we forget, but we have just barely seen a foretaste of the glory that will be when Christ comes back. Heirs of salvation. Do you realize how beautiful that is? Purchase of God. Born in his spirit, washed in his blood. Church, God must be really crazy about you because you were very expensive. He gave the most precious thing he had for you. That's something to rejoice about. Our children today, believe it or not, they're singing a song called An Old Church Choir by Zach Williams. Our children are singing that. Isn't that crazy? But it says this: I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation, and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing because I've been restored. There ain't nothing going to steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing going to steal my joy. If you've been restored to Christ, there should be joy in our hearts. I found myself this week really struggling. Last weekend, I know most of you made up your mind whether you were coming to church on Friday. Why hadn't he told us it was canceled yet? Doesn't he see us sleeping outside? It's because I'm worried we're not going to make our budget. It's because I know that if we cancel it, it's going to hurt. And I'm so wrapped up in thinking about that, that I almost missed the joy of playing in the snow for the first time with my little girl. You see, she's played in the snow before. She's played in the snow twice, matter of fact, where she actually got to sled, not like a baby, and you just put them in the snow for a picture. She got to play two times. Both times I was in Kentucky. And I had to see it through pictures on Facebook. And that may seem like a small thing to you, but it broke my heart because I didn't get to be there. And I remember sitting in Kentucky watching them sled and saying, God, I trust that you have me here and that you're not going to make me miss that forever. So next year when it snows, I want to be home to sled with my daughter. I went sled with my daughter. Now, we overdid the weight limit on that sled, but don't tell the company it still worked. But I almost missed that because I was so worried about my earthly circumstances that I missed the blessing God was putting right in front of me. I ended up watching parts of three movies yesterday. I hadn't watched three movies in a year. And all of them had this common theme, and they were nothing alike. One of them was a Christmas movie. I'm not even sure what the other one was. It was just a weird movie. And the other one was a baseball movie. They had nothing in common as far as where you would find them if you were looking for movies. But in every single one of them, the main character at some point became so overwhelmed with their current circumstances, they felt they either didn't have enough or they were walking out on something because they thought they had enough. Does that make sense? They either thought they didn't have enough or they thought they had so much they didn't need anybody or anything. And at some point in all three movies, the person was humbled and joy came when their circumstances changed. And I just thought, man, how often my joy just gets wrapped up in my happiness. And how wrong is that? But I'm going to stand up here and tell y'all to be joyful when I really need to be telling myself to be joyful. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is the reason why we can rejoice, because this is my story. This is my song. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. I'm not making light of what you're going through, but it does not matter what you're going through. Praising my Savior all the day long. Can we agree that we have a world out there that's weary? Can we agree on that? God's looking at His people to give the joy that He's given us to them. I know you're getting restless, but do me a favor. Grab the closest Bible to you. And I want you to turn to the very last page. I mean, well, not the very last one, but the last one with writing on it. If you're in one of our Bibles, it's 1009. I once was asked, when are you going to preach from Revelation? So here we are in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. The one who testifies to these things, they're talking about Jesus. Some of your Bibles, if you're in your own Bible, is yours red? See, ours in the church isn't read. Can I borrow yours? You'll just have to trust that I'm telling you the truth. He who testifies to these things says, and then there's quotes in red. Y'all know what red means? Jesus said it. It says, yes. I am coming soon. Church, there's another Advent. Christ came at Christmas, but he's coming back for us. That's the joy that carries us through. That's the joy the world needs. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.